Hi, it's Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com. Here's another 25-minute recording with a gentleman who was a mold manufacturer, and it's a specifically interesting call because this guy had so many different molds and tooling that could eventually be turned into products, exclusive products that could be sold national or even worldwide. I just want you to get an idea of the absolute immense potential sitting in these mold shops. All you got to do is know how to get them to call you back, have the exact direct mail sales letter that I use to get all this response, and be able to just model what I've been doing here and take action. I hope this is helpful.
A little bit about what you do.
Well, we're a marketing company. I'm looking for molds that maybe you had in use that you were running and are no longer running. Maybe they're obsolete, but the molds are still in good shape. And if you've got tooling already built and you have control over it and it's a consumer-type product, we've got distribution into some large chains like Home Depot and others internationally. Do you have anything that may fit that category?
We have a bunch of toy molds I was thinking about, but that doesn't sound like it.
Well, I'm open to toy molds. What do you got?
Well, we did a bunch of toys for Mr. T, you know, the A-Team command.
Yeah, the A-Team?
Yeah.
And what kind of toys were they?
Dollhouse. Bunch of plastic parts, you know, ladders and cranes.
So it was mainly a dollhouse?
Yeah, mainly a dollhouse, and it had the pillars which held the different floors up. That's a mold you'd like to get rid of because it's actually three molds and they're monster molds.
They are, yeah. What kind of press do you need to run those?
It takes a 700.
So there's all kinds of cavities in that thing?
Yeah, it's kind of a headache mold.
How many did y'all run on that thing?
I don't remember what we ran on them. We were shipping a truckload a day on those things. One truckload would go to them up in South San Francisco, and one would go to Toulouse in London.
Was this back in the 80s?
Yeah, this was in 85.
Who owned that?
Well, they never paid us on it.
Who was the company? They were a marketing company?
Toys.
Okay, they had the licensing for some Mr. T stuff.
Licensing through Paramount. We did a bunch of stuff with them. The Fright Castle. No, that was Mattel. We have a bunch of Mattel molds, too, that are obsolete molds. We did another one, Black Star, a big castle. It's a vacuum form mold, and the kids hide behind it and got a trap door and a play mat, and they shoot dart guns at each other, rubber suction cups.
What else? Those are some pretty big items.
Yeah, these are big. And then we had a big water blaster, water gun.
A Super Soaker?
Yeah, Super Soaker water gun.
Was it a Super Soaker brand?
No, it was Sports.
How old was that?
That was in the 80s also. Then we have another one that we built also for Sports, which is a wet banana for the water slide.
What is a wet banana?
It's just a sprinkler, actually. It lays down a strip of water in a nice straight line. It's like slip and slide.
Okay. So the mold was to make the sprinkler part?
The mold was to make the sprinkler. And the advantage was in the slip and slide, you had to put the water into the tubes on the side of the roll. And this one, you just hook it up like a sprinkler.
Did y'all move a lot of those?
It was number one in the toy hit parade for about 10 weeks. The first year we did them, we sold 600,000 of them.
Really? How many cavity mold is that?
It's just a two-cavity mold.
So what kind of press do you need to run that?
It runs on a small press. Now, the problem is that Ramp bought the mold. And then they wanted to move the mold to Mexico. We had the ultrasonic horns and all this kind of stuff. And so we showed them how to set it up and offered to sell them all of our tests. You know, we pressure tested with water and all this stuff. But they never could run the thing in Mexico. So then they brought it back to us. And then we ran it for another 2 years.
Why couldn't they run it in Mexico?
It's a kind of a complex mold. It's got unscrewing actions in it. And it's got a lot of scroll-type corpins that move out and had hydraulic unscrewing motors in it. They were just kind of tricky to adjust, but they couldn't run it and weld the parts and make them come out right. So they brought it back to us, and then 1 year we ran about 200,000 for them, and then they took it back to Mexico, and then they didn't like it again down in Mexico. They brought it back to us, and we ran about 100,000. Then we ran about 50,000 in the following year. Wham-O was trying to kill the project all the time because it competed with the slip and slide, but the store people kept wanting it. And so now they've just kind of abandoned that mold. We've had it sitting here idle for 12 years.
Are you still in the business?
Yeah, but we're not doing any toys right now.
But would that be a big deal to start running that thing again?
No.
Okay, that's interesting. How big is that wet banana thing?
It's not a real big mold. It ran a 100-ton press.
So for the complete product, you had the banana part?
Yeah, you had the mold. It's got these hydraulics on it. And then you had the ultrasonic horn. That was the one that was kind of tricky, but we had three of the horns. And they said, well, we can make our own down there. But I told them the problem that Ipsen had when they were going to make it. They spent $10,000 and gave up on it. But we had a guy in Santa Ana who made the first ones work fine, and we had three other ones made. We were turning them out a lot of parts on that one.
Was the product called the Wet Banana?
It's called the Wet Banana, yeah.
The Wet Banana. Here, in the 80s, toys of the 80s, the Wet Banana. Just like the slip inside, only the water came out of a yellow sprinkler.
You screw in the hose and the end of it is like the sprinkler. And the way it works is the holes in the alignment and everything is such when it's about 6-7 feet away from the strip, the water falls just in a straight line. If you're close to it, it's like a fan, but if you're a little bit further away, it falls just in a straight line on this strip, and that's what really saves all that hassle. It's a lot easier to set up for everybody.
Okay. All right, what other things can you think of?
Another one that we do a lot of is the magnetic razor sharpener.
I've heard of that thing. Were you doing those for that multi-level company?
Yeah, we were doing it for Sharper Image, and then they tried to knock it off. I don't know if they ever did much on it, but they advertised it, and they ran it for a little bit. And then we ran it for a company in New Jersey. They did about 50,000 of them, I think.
How many of those did you run total?
At least a quarter of a million of them. We shipped a bunch of them to Home Shopping Club, too.
It's funny, I used to own one of those things. Yeah, that was a cool little product.
It works.
Is that just a one-cavity mold?
It's a one-cavity mold.
Was there a magnet inside it?
Yeah, there's two magnets in it.
Do you know where to get the magnets and everything?
Yeah, we still have the mold, and we still mold them.
What do those things cost to put out?
When he gets down to the final level, I think he gets about $10 for them. They sell for $29.95 or something like that.
All right, but to make them?
We charge him, I think it's $265 or something like that.
So do you own the mold on that?
No, he owns the mold.
What's his name?
It's John.
Was he the inventor?
Yeah, he's the inventor.
Did he ever patent it?
Yeah, it was patented.
So it's got a patent?
It has a patent number on the mold. His daughter is handling it. We've made some other products for him, too, but he's just really slacked off on the thing.
Well, I'd be willing to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
Can I get a contact number for him?
Sure. I don't know if he's talking, but daughter is the one we've been dealing with. We've been making this product for him for, I would say, maybe 15 years.
15 years, wow.
It's one of those things that just always goes.
No, I understand, but nothing's been happening lately.
No, his daughter's doing a little bit of stuff.
But the daughter isn't real into it.
No, she's not caring for it very much. About 400 units on hand here. He'd usually buy 2,500 at a time, and then we'd ship them to him as he needed them, or ship them to some of his other locations. I think we owe him a couple hundred.
You didn't do any of the packaging on it. You just shipped them bulk?
When we did them for Home Shopping Club, we did the packaging.
So Home Shopping Club knocked it off, or were they buying his?
No, they were buying his. Yeah, we shipped by the pallet.
What was the packaging like? In a box?
Yeah, it was in a box.
Do you still have all that stuff?
I probably have something in it. They had their own number on it that they wanted to put on it, a label that we put.
Right. How many did Sharper Image order?
Sharper Image didn't order very many, I don't think.
They didn't move that many?
No, maybe 1,000, 1,500, something like that.
That's it, huh?
Quest in New Jersey. They were the first one we did them for.
Is that the multi-level?
Yeah, they were a multi-level. Then he had a catalog place, but everybody kept ripping him off. We shipped 50-some thousand to them, and they would say, oh, you know, we shipped 5,000 or something like that. He'd always call us for the actual number. He tried it with about three people, and everybody kept trying to cheat him, so he said, I'm just going to sell them myself.
Well, how would they try and cheat him?
We would ship to whoever was handling it. They'd tell them how many they had, and they'd pay them the commission on those. And we tell them we shipped 7,000 to this catalog company.
But they tell them that they only bought 4,000.
Yeah, they'd say a smaller amount.
He wouldn't even confirm that you guys shipped that many? He didn't handle any of the paperwork or anything?
He said, well, I'm just going to do it myself. And he got that Home Shopping deal himself, and he was doing pretty well. He had a website, but then he got divorced and had a hard time.
Yeah, I see. I'm at his website right now. It's that little white thing. Is it snapped together or does it have the glue?
No, we cast it full of urethane to give it the weight to make it be substantial.
So it's a solid piece. How many can you pump out? Can you run them pretty quickly?
Yeah, we can run them pretty quick.
And did you only do them in that color?
Yeah, we just did them in that one color.
And how do you mount the magnet in there?
Well, it's got another little part that's in the same mold. It's a little clip that you put the magnets in because the two magnets have to oppose each other. They'll jump apart, and so you put them in this way, and then when you assemble them, you have a little jack fixture. You pass your hand over this magnet to make sure that they're oriented right.
So did you see anyone try and knock them off and build tooling for it?
But the Sharper Image was trying to knock it off, and then we had another customer that we were making for these magnetic mileage minder things.
What's that?
You know, you strap to your fuel lines or a heater line. We've got all that tooling for that stuff, too. And that man died.
Were you making a lot of those?
We were doing a lot of those.
You know, what is that thing?
It's called a mileage minder.
Did it really work, do you think?
It worked for a while. was what we found. I just got them on my fuel lines in their car, and it's actually working for a couple of months or 3 months. I think it loses its effectiveness. But there's a lot of people that make them. But this man, Dr. Chant, that we did this for, he actually went to the same labs that do the testing for General Motors and so on, the automotive people. We had them do these tests on it to actually have them certified. We had a big stink about this a few years back. A bunch of people were claiming to save you all kinds of fuel, and they thought they were all a bunch of shysters, but he actually had the data.
So he died?
Yeah, then he died.
Where was he out of?
Santa Ana.
Does anyone have anything on it? I mean, who did it go to?
He bought a company that makes a bunch of weird stuff, you know, thigh cream and every other thing. But his daughter is running that, and then he's got another guy in there that can handle stuff. We also did another part for him, this P-trap that snaps open.
It's called a P-trap?
Yeah. It's a clear plastic polycarbonate strap that goes underneath your sink with a snap-open bottom. Got a little ring catch in it. And we did the same thing with that. We sold all kinds of them. But he's the kind of a guy that would get interested in a product, and they'd go like mad, and then he'd get into another thing, and he'd just completely drop it.
So you got the tooling for the P-trap, too?
Yeah, we got the tooling for that.
So, like, if I looked on the Internet for one, what was it, capital P?
Yeah, just a capital P and draft. Supply still holds and runs them. Last time I was in there, I saw a couple of them on the shelf still.
And it's just P space P-R-A-P?
Yeah.
So the benefit of this thing is?
It's great for dentists and hairdressers, people that might have a ring drop in there. The only problem that you have with the thing, the truth behind it, is that you put one in your house and there's so much scum builds up inside there, it looks black in no time.
What if you made it black?
We made them black, white, and clear. And we sold a bunch of them in Canada, and they only wanted them in black. The idea of making it clear is so you can see if there's something in there, but the thing, you've got to be cleaning it out all the time because there's always something in there. We've got them in both of our sinks here at work.
All right, so how many cavity mold is that?
That's just the one.
And you can pump those things out pretty quick.
Yeah, it pumps them up, correct.
So does he have a patent on that thing?
I'm not sure if he's patented or not.
So is this the same guy as with the fuel thing?
Yeah, with the fuel model.
What other stuff? And we can go through that later.
We built all the tooling, but we've got probably four different molds on those, different sizes.
On the P-trap?
On the magnetic fuel thing. We were selling an awful lot of them. We had a guy in Pennsylvania that was selling them like crazy. We were selling them to a big drug store chain. They've got a big distribution center in Arizona and some other state. And we were shipping them by the pallets to these people. Never had a return. But when we started shipping them to supply, we had nothing but returns. Well, this guy handled both. The P-traps and the mileage miners, and he was really doing well. Then something happened to him, and all of a sudden, nothing.
Did he get sick or something?
I don't know what happened to him at all.
So all you have is the daughter's information?
I don't know if she would have it or not, but this guy that works with her, he would know something about
it. Okay, but you have someone that I could get in touch with.
Yeah.
What other things? These are really interesting. Any of them could be potential great products to get back going.
Woody owns Clock. He was going to buy that.
The P-trap invention?
Not the P-trap, but the RazorMate thing. He was going to buy that.
Who was he going to buy it from? The daughter?
He was going to buy it from John, but then John wanted some ridiculous price for it. And so then Woody was going to have me just build a mold, which Dr. Chant had me build a mold too.
So you have your own mold already?
We have another mold for it, but it's not the same contour or anything.
He has a design patent on it?
I don't know, but the patent is expired anyway.
Oh, it's an expired item.
Because, as I say, we've been doing it for all this time.
All right, so the patent's over with, so you could start making them right now if you wanted to. All right, that could be a good possibility. Anything else you can think of?
We made a giant wristwatch for Woody. You know, he makes the clock, you know, where the eyes can forward.
Oh, yeah.
So we used to run those for him for a long time. Like, we have his hot stamp machine here. We have some of his equipment that he's just left here. We know him real well. We made a job for him, a giant wristwatch, which we sold a lot of them for him. It's vacuum for him. Put in a kit room or something.
Yeah, I don't think I'm interested in that. All right. Anything else that you can think of? Any stuff in Home Depot, painting-related products?
We made some printer legs that we sold through Carr.
Printer legs?
Yeah, they just screw to the different height. And say you have a printer, you know, with two different levels, you have a cadenza or something, and you step down so you can screw the legs to adjust. One leg is longer than the other.
Yeah, all right. Not interested in that. I wonder if there's other people. There's a couple websites here. I'm calling about the, and is this the only product you guys sell?
You mean for that particular company or just period?
Are you an answering service?
No, we're a marketing firm.
I'm looking at the Razor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the Razor.net. Are you guys the owners of it?
No. Did you want to order one? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I just wanted to see. Do you only sell them retail?
What's your name?
Michael Senoff, S-E-N-O-F-F, like in Frank.
Okay. One moment.
Thanks.
Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If you want to order a razor, I can go ahead and take the information.
I wanted to possibly see about selling these, ordering quantities of them.
Okay. And about how many are you talking
about?
Well,
I'm not sure. I mean, I need to know who you are, and do you have the rights to sell them, or what's the deal?
Okay. Hold on just a moment.
This is Jim. I help you.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. Who's this?
My name is Michael Senoff. I'm a marketing company out in San Diego, and I found your razor, and I wanted to just get an idea. Are you guys the inventors here?
Oh, goodness, no, no, no. One of my clients for about 9.5 years was the inventor, and we've had it here and there, and Sharper Image tried to knock it off, and he fought them, and we're not the inventors, but we've been marketing him for quite a while.
Okay, and how do y'all mainly sell them? Just through the website?
Oh, no. We have reps and distributors. We do a lot with the African-American population because they have problems with their beard coming back in, or I'm not sure the exact nature of it. We sell a lot to ATs, the Air Force Army Exchange, the military. We do have reps and distributors in other countries and things like that.
Okay. Do y'all have the exclusive distributorship on it?
Oh, sure. Everything goes through us.
Everything goes through you. And the Sharper Image, were they ever able to knock it off?
No. You know those guys. They all say product invented here, you know what I mean? And they just go out to China and do a different design patent.
Do they come out with one?
No. They couldn't do it.
Okay. The reason I was looking around, I had heard about the inventor, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had got a call from a company who does all his molding.
Good.
Do you know those guys?
Yeah.
And he called me about it, and we had sent out a letter. We look for obsolete mold, and we were just talking. He was telling me about John and his daughter supposedly handling everything. I was interested in possibly getting some kind of rights to market this. When I saw this, I assumed it was his website or the daughter was running it.
Yes, she is.
So the daughter's involved with you?
Yes.
Okay, so you're handling it for her?
Yes.
I asked him if you guys were doing much with it, and he said you guys aren't doing too much with it.
No, the problem is they just don't seem to jump back out now.
No, I understand. The daughter's probably got other things. But it's funny, I used to have one of these. 8 years ago, I was involved in the multi-level, and I got one through one of those multi-level marketing companies. And when the guy told me, I goes, I know what this is. I used to have one. It was a great little product.
We have guys calling back years later, reordering them, because some people are idiots and keep them in their shower and they get rusty. But women love it for their legs. Me, personally, I rotary shave, and then I take my Blade Bic, and I just do the trimming up stuff. I've had the same pretty little 10-cent yellow and white thing for months.
What other uses have you found for these things? Anything?
Women's legs, men's beard. Tried to get it into the medical profession, but they use a fresh one every time. A lot with the military. With this product, it keeps it nice and clean because the eraser actually doesn't get dull, it's bent. And he was a NASA scientist, rocket engineer.
He's not doing anything with this.
No, but I'll give everybody a holler and tell him you're looking to buy him out.
I'm just going to be realistic. He's expecting some big payout for this. That ain't going to happen. But we're more of a marketing company, but we can pay royalty based on our performance.
Of course.
But now, between you and I, you got the site up and you get calls every once in a while. I mean, are you moving any of these things? Barely?
Oh, yeah. We run some out. A lot of them right now, I don't know how they're getting our information. Probably just over the internet. And I run press releases out to the newspapers and consumer magazines, from Playboy to Popular Mechanics. And we're direct response marketers. The past 16 years, we make commercials, airtime, newspapers, magazines, shopping channels.
Do you help him in his business?
Exactly.
You do direct marketing?
No, we're a production house. The 2 minutes, the 1 minute, the 30 second, and the 15 second.
Did you do stuff on the razor?
Oh, finish, yeah.
Well, you got video and all that stuff?
Yeah, 8.5 years ago. I'm sure we probably still do somewhere in the archive.
Do you have all the original press releases?
Oh, goodness, yes.
So if I approached him and said, I want a worldwide exclusive on marketing this based on my performance, would he be open to?
I don't know if he would do worldwide because he has some guys already in, like, New Zealand that we've given rights to New Zealand to.
Are they doing anything with it?
Well, they order a couple hundred a month.
And who else did he give rights to?
I have a whole list.
All over the world?
You know, just little people. I mean, you know, a guy in Australia, a guy in New Zealand, a guy in Germany. But, I mean, it's not like exclusive rights.
What do you wholesale them out to these guys for?
I think somewhere around $7 or $8.
And they just resell them?
Yeah. They resell them for $15. They double the money, and some guys even sell them for more.
And have you ever seen a knockoff of this?
Well, it wasn't the magnetic thing. It was a solution stuff, where you put your product in a solution because they were touting that your razor doesn't get dull because of whatever. Get saline or salt deposits on it. And their solution cleans off, which is not quite right. I mean, we've seen this thing under a microscope and get bent just at the salt.
Okay. So the numbers on here, like on the press releases, did everything come through you?
Mm-hmm.
So you were handling everything.
We had one in Playboy where they actually drew a picture of it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Playboy ad right here. What happened when you were in Playboy?
No, he sold a bunch.
What's a bunch?
I don't remember.
Just onesie twosies?
Oh, no, no. It was like 700 or 800 of them.
From that one thing in Playboy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what are some other good memories, like press stuff?
Oh, we had them placed in little podunk newspapers, you know, the Tennessean.
Yes, one. It happened one morning. Did you guys write all that?
Mm-hmm.
And how'd that do?
Very good. We even did him on a freebie thing. I mean, these things don't cost, what, a buck or two to make, I'm sure. But, I mean, we had them, like, things you never knew existed or something, freebie things, where all you pay is, like, $4.95 shipping and handling. And then he sends it to you and he still makes a buck or two.
Okay, he did stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
Getting a better edge. So, from your experience, all these press releases did pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Well, press releases, first of all, are freebies. You got to send the editor a sample, of course, and a nice little 300 DPI photo, hopefully they use. We write up a couple nice little paragraphs.
What happened with the Wall Street Journal in 1996?
We did pretty good with that one, too.
Did y'all write that, or did they write it?
No, we wrote it. But see, we haven't done a ton of stuff with him.
And you can't work for free.
Right, no.
He's not a marketer.
And he ran out of money.
Does he owe you money?
Of course. And, you know, I'm still waiting for some brochures. You know, they don't even have money for brochures. Well, I'm sure they do.
What do you mean you're still waiting on brochures?
They're supposed to be sending me brochures to mail out to all the different Starcrest, Finger Hut, Harriet Carter, Lillian Vernon, Dr. Leonard.
You have supply access, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a negotiated price with the supplier?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you're doing it direct with him?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what if you turned everything over to me if I could produce?
No problem. I'd be willing to help you.
You've got all the press release, all the main work's done. I've got a direct marketing background myself.
Good, good.
Do you have a contract with them that you're able to do all this?
Mm-hmm.
What's the nature of your agreement?
What are you looking to do?
Let's say if you let me do some marketing, would I have the rights to use all the press releases and stuff? And
goodness, man, whatever you need.
No problem.
I know her, and I know she thinks she still has something going, but I just tell her, hey, if she can make a buck a deal or a buck 74 for everyone he sells, would you be happy with that? And she'd probably say, yeah.
All right, very good.
She'd probably do pretty well.
The guy gave me her number, but I got a disconnected number, and I got another number, and I left a message. Is he with her? And what's the daughter like?
You know, I hate to be that way because I've never met her in person, but she's one of these types that, well, my father created it, you know what I mean? Thinks it's a bigger asset than what it is.
Right. She's in love with it.
Well, yeah, she's in love with the idea of being a businesswoman.
Do you have a number for her?
Sure.
How much do they owe you? Do you mind me saying?
I'd have to check. I've been doing a lot of products for a long time, and he said when he ever came across some cash.
Did he pay you up?
First one, yeah. I started with him about 8 years beyond that. But, yeah, it's been a long time.
All right, very interesting. All right, well, I will get back with you.
Hey, let me do a favor. Let me talk to her first.
Talk to her first.
And then call me back tomorrow, because if I sweeten it for you guys, you and I both know that this thing has legs.
Yeah, it's got legs.
It's not one of these 6 months to 2 year projects I usually deal with that die after that.
Yeah, but realistically, if we did something with this and we invested all our capital and all our marketing efforts, she ain't going to be getting $1.74 a unit.
Now, I know. She poo-pooed that idea with sharp lines. I couldn't believe that. Said, you know, hell, let them do it. Make $1.74.
What you do is you tell her we'll move a million a year, and you tell her she'll make 35 cents on each one, so she can do the math. It's $350,000 a year. So you can do it like that. And then she doesn't have to give us exclusive worldwide rights unless we are able to produce. And I've got an agreement set up we can do. And she doesn't have to give up any of her existing customers.
Well, that might work. You know, it's just like anything else. I'd rather make a nickel than nothing.
It's all the effort. No one's doing anything with it.
So you do this for a living. You go around and find mold makers and you call them up and say, hey, molds that have dust on them?
Yeah. It's wild.
That is cool. I never thought of doing that. I'd be sourcing overseas if I have to.
Yeah, and you could bring in something overseas cheaper than the material it costs to make the thing.
Oh, it's ridiculous. You can have these things made overseas, I'm sure, for a quarter each.
But they own the mold, and there's problems with that, too.
With mold?
Well, a lot of people think it's so easy. I know you can make them and bring them in overseas, but...
$7,500 for a mold.
Overseas?
Yeah.
Have you looked into making these overseas?
Goodness, I do that for almost all my clients. I have clients that are idiots.
Is this thing made overseas?
No, he spent ridiculous amounts of money to have it made in the 90s. Some guys just don't understand that you don't need something that's going to last several million in the very beginning. Just get, you know, sand cast if you have to start out. But he wasn't thinking.
So he spent tons of money having the mold made?
Oh, yeah.
Well, how many molds did he have made?
I don't know. He spent more than I would do.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, do you have a website I could peek at?
Yeah, I sure do. Go to hardtofindseminars.com.
So you also do seminars, Michael?
Years ago, I started buying and reselling marketing seminars.
Oh, wow. That's lit.
I sell through audio. I create and develop information products, and then product development and marketing. If you're a direct marketer, you'll love this site. I've got great interviews with world-class people.
Great. I used to be a trainer back in the late 80s, long time ago.
Yeah, I do marketing consulting. I sell high-end consulting packages, all kinds of stuff. Go to the website. Just look around.
Have a good one.
Thanks. Bye. That's the end of this recording on the third session of the Molding Secrets calls. If you have any questions or would like the actual direct mail sales letter that I use to get a flood of calls from mold makers and to be able to model what I've been doing so you can find yourself an opportunity or a product that you could have an exclusive worldwide right, something to control and something to sell, please call me at 858-274-7851 or email me at michael@hardtofindseminars.com. You may not know what barter is or what the trade industry is, but it's a multi-billion dollar industry, and I've come up with a loophole on how to take advantage of this industry and literally put thousands and thousands of dollars worth of savings into your pocket. You can hear me do it for real. In this 15-minute recording, I will show you how I saved for personal expenses almost $10,000 with only about 15 minutes of telephone calls. I promise you, you've never heard anything like this, and instead of me telling you how to do it, I show you how. You can listen to me do it for real. So head on over to the product section at hardtofindseminars.com. In the light blue column on the left, click on the link that says Barter Secrets, and you can hear it all in action. I think you're going to find this fascinating.